Father, I pray that you would be with Christians throughout America. And Lord, help all of your children to realize it doesn't matter. You don't look upon differences in people's appearance. And Lord, Christians that should know this in their heart and yet are being influenced by the world and are saying things that are not honoring to you and are divisive, Lord, I pray that you would just convict them of the need to say that which is true. That there is no black or white or yellow or brown. We're one human. And Father, that all men, no matter what our appearance, need to know you as Lord and Savior. And those that know you as Lord and Savior are brothers and sisters in you. We are one in Christ. Your word tells us that. And Paul made it perfectly clear by your inspiration that there's not to be division within the body of Christ because of our economic stand or our heritage or our appearance or anything, because we are one in you. And you came to redeem all mankind. And Father, this is wickedness from the pit of hell. And Father, Satan desires to divide and destroy and cause destruction and death and evil. And we've seen it happen in our nation over the last few months. The lies and Father, even with the wickedness that has been done with this virus and how that has been used to take away freedoms, to suppress people, to fill them with fear. And Lord, I pray that you would give great wisdom to your church, great wisdom to our political leaders. And Father, those leaders that are using this for political purposes to try and destroy their adversaries and to continue to have control over those people that you've placed under their control, Lord, that you would really convict them to change, or that you would deal with them. And we think of governors of states where they refuse to let your people meet, and they refuse to open up because they know the longer they can keep it, the more they can hurt their political opposition. And Father, our nation has been given great freedoms because of how you gave wisdom to our founding fathers. And Lord, help us to take advantage of those freedoms and also pray that they would be restored to those parts of our country where they are still been removed. Lord, we pray too that you would be with all the requests for health issues that have been made. And Father, we pray that you just touch lives and change and heal people. And Father, also we pray that you'd work in hearts. Work in hearts of those that attend here that don't know you and haven't received you as Lord and Savior. They've heard messages, they've heard the truth, but they haven't yielded hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just cause hearts to be yielded and broken and lives to be given to you. Lord, now we pray specifically for the Smith household. If there be those in the household that have not given their lives to you, Lord, I pray they would. And change hearts. Lord, now be with our service and allow us to just learn from your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, I want to continue our study through the book of Matthew and pick up where we left off this morning. And we want to look at chapter 18, and I want to begin at verse 15 this afternoon. 18 through verse 15, and I'll read through verse 20, and we'll see how far we get as we're getting a little short on time. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and as a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as to touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Father, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word and help us to understand a passage that's often misquoted, difficult to understand. And Lord, just open your word to us and may your spirit teach us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that Jesus is giving here, if you look at it in the context of what Matthew was writing, it just didn't come out of all of a sudden, whoops, let's talk about church discipline. But what were we talking about this morning? We were talking about a battle, a spiritual battle that Jesus acknowledged. And he was talking about what is to be the attitude if you're to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We saw that if you're to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you're to have a humble, meek spirit. And on the back of that, you're to reflect the character of Christ, which is one of an attitude of great love and compassion for your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, but also for the lost. And we also saw that Jesus became very, used harsh words when he talked about those who would come against the people that were seeking to follow Christ, tempting them and causing them to turn and follow lives that were not honoring to the Lord and undermining and destroying their walk with Jesus. And he had harsh words for them. He said, woe, and that they were worthy of hellfire. I mean, those are not light words. And then now he talks about church discipline. You know, a lot of times, first of all, most churches kind of, okay, if you're going to snip things out of the Bible, this is one we snip out. We kind of find this, and we're very selective in passages we preach on. That's why when I go through a book and preach through a book of the Bible, I come to passages, I can't skip them. I've got to say something. I've got to preach on something that's there. And this is one of them. But I want you to understand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to understand what Jesus is saying here. First of all, what is the believer's attitude to be that is experiencing a brother or sister that's struggling in their walk with the Lord, that they are being attacked spiritually and tempted to turn and follow worldly ideas and become involved in worldly activities? There's to be a brokenness in the heart of the believer. There's to be a real heart of compassion for the one that's struggling. Now, you know, I stop and think about this, and I was just trying to think of some examples to give. And one example I'd just like to share with you, there was a former classmate of mine, and I had talked to her for the first time in like 20 years, 30 years, something like that. And we were just talking about our families and what God had done. And she was telling me how that when she was raising, she had three girls, and she was telling me that as she was raising her girls, her oldest daughter was giving her a lot of problems. Part of the problem is she thought that her parents were much too restrictive with her, and they wouldn't let her do what all the other kids got to do. And so consequently, she was just giving mom a really bad time. One day, this daughter had just got done talking to her mom, and was going back upstairs when the doorbell rang, and this her daughter's best friend, who was living on the wild side, showed up at the door. And she came in and she asked if she could speak to my former classmate. And she asked, why do you want to speak to me? And she said, well, and the girl was crying. And she said, I wish my parents loved me like you love your girls. You see, my parents let me go out whenever I want to go out. They let me run around with whoever I want to run around with. They don't put any restrictions on, and they really don't care where I'm at. But you care about your girls, because you tell them to be in at a certain time, and if they're not, they're in trouble. And she said, I don't know what to do, because she said, now I'm pregnant. Did you hear what that girl was saying? Boundaries and discipline are an expression of love. And she understood it because her parents hadn't done it, but she saw it in the other home. And even though the daughter was rebelling against her mom and dad, saying, you don't let me go, you don't let me do this, you don't let me stay out late, she didn't understand. But my friend told me the amazing thing was her daughter was still on the stairs when her friend was talking to her, and it opened up her daughter's eyes to how much her parents really cared. God cares. Jesus cares. It breaks his heart to see rebels. If Jesus didn't care, he wouldn't have come to the cross. He would have just come as a judge. If Jesus cared, it wouldn't have taken him so long to send a worldwide flood and judge the whole world. But it had become so bad, so rebellious, so wicked, and nobody was listening to God except Noah and his family. But Jesus didn't delight in sending the flood. Jesus didn't delight in snatching Lot and his two daughters out of Sodom and Gomorrah and raining hail and fire on it. But it had become so wicked, the rebellion was so deep, and the hearts so hardened that there was no choice but to do it. So God introduces, in the midst of this chapter, church discipline. In other words, disciplining with the body of Christ. What happens when I stumble and fall? First of all, there needs to be compassion one for another. Real compassion. It says here that when I see a brother and he's in trouble, what do? Run and tell everybody else, oh, did you know that so-and-so's got a problem? Did you know that so-and-so's involved in this sin? Did you know that they're struggling here? Did you know that their life's falling all apart? Did you know? No. As a matter of fact, God hates that too. That's called backbiting and gossip and tattling with the tongue. He hates it. Read in the book of Proverbs. There's one verse, and I forgot to look up the verse, and I can't remember right offhand, but there's it says six things that the Lord hates and seven that he... And that's one of them. Because he says, what are we to do? We're to love as Jesus loves. And especially those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we really love someone, we're not going to allow sin to impact their lives because it's destructive and it'll destroy them. Even as a Christian, sin will destroy us and it's destructive. It's a means by which Satan can make us ineffective. And it's a means by which, if it wasn't important to God, God wouldn't bring chastising into Christians' lives if they're unwilling to repent and turn from sin. Because God loves us that much. It's just like parents that really care for their children, they will discipline their children because they're trying to instruct their children in what is good and right and the right way to go, lest they go into a way of danger that leads to grave consequences in their life. Rebellion is a horrible thing. And we talked this morning that sin is rebellion. And Jesus says here, what's the steps? He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. So in other words, if I've got a brother and he's done something, and he has sinned against me, what? Maybe he has, I don't know, said something against me, maybe he has taken something that's mine and willfully knows that he's taken something that's mine and doesn't return it, doesn't give it back. Maybe he's taken advantage of me. Maybe he's done something that's sinful. But I'm going to talk to him directly. Why? Because Jesus says, first of all, when we go, I don't think we're supposed to be going in our flesh, right? I'm not supposed to be going, hey you! Grab him by the collar, whoa! No. I'm supposed to be going in the power of God's Spirit, having prayed. Praying that God will make him ready to hear what I've had to say, because what I've got to say is for his good and mine. That I can see God work in his heart through the conviction of his Spirit, that he would be set free from the control of whatever this sin is that he's been doing against me, because really what it is, it's a stronghold that Satan's gained in his life that's causing him to do something that's not good in the eyes of God, because it's rebellion against him, it's sin, and it's been manifesting itself against me. And then he says that if I do that and he listens, you've gained your brother. In other words, you brought him back from going deeper into rebellion. But if I never say anything, he won't know. And maybe Satan has blinded him. You know, have you ever seen that where you justify in your mind sin that you've got in your heart? I've known people that somebody did something wrong to them. Maybe they, you know, whatever, bought something from them and didn't pay him the full amount. Let's say that's what it is. And so they go to him and they say, you didn't pay me the full amount. And so they say, oh, I'm really sorry. And they pay him the full amount. But then they harbor bitterness in their heart. Well, then who's sinning against whom? And I saw someone that harbored bitterness in their heart because of some silly thing like that that had been done years before and that had been tried to be cleared up, but they harbored this sin in their heart. And guess what happens? It grows and it grows and it grows. I don't doubt that these people were believers, but they became so bitter because of something that really had tried to be corrected. And now they were the one that was sinning and you couldn't deal with them and talk to them. What's the problem? I don't have a problem. Satan had blinded them because they justified in their mind, I have a right to be upset because they did that against me. I have a right to do that against them. One of the biggest problems that husbands and wives have is when one of them does something to the other one and the other one justifies in their mind, well, that enables me to get back. Have you ever done that? I can be mad at them because they did this to me, and we justify in our mind, and what we are doing is hiding our sin. And when a brother sees that and he comes and tells us, he is doing it out of love for us, not because he hates us. And he's telling us, sin has gotten you blinded so you don't see what you're doing. And so I go and I tell him. But the Lord says, if he will not hear thee, then you just let him go. No. Then you take the one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, if you take the example of bitterness, if really someone is bitter towards another person, you're going to be able to tell that bitterness. And it's going to be evident to more than just the person that are in, people that are involved. And the longer the bitterness grows, the more evident the bitterness will be, because you'll have people that will come in. And I remember seeing this in a church I was at where people wouldn't talk to each other. They all go to the church services at the same time. They go to all the church services, but they'd make sure they didn't talk to each other because there was a bitterness and an anger towards one another. And it was pretty evident, because if you never talk to anybody and you're in the same church, and at that church it wasn't that big. I mean, at the time that it was the biggest it was, we had probably 270 people, so you knew everybody in the church. But you could tell people who didn't get along. And the thing is, if that bitterness was being specifically directed at me, and I went and talked to them and said, I don't know what I've done, please forgive me, we need to talk through this, you need to let go of this bitterness, because it's going to consume and destroy you, and they wouldn't listen, then I should go get to another mature Christian. And make sure it's a mature Christian. So there's a brother. Get another one or two brothers that have seen this. You don't go and tell them, okay, now I want you to start looking for this and that person. That's not what you do. But you go and you say, I need to have you come with me, because I need to have you help this person understand what this is doing to their life so they can be set free. Then he says, if they don't do any, if they won't listen to two or three witnesses, and where does that come from? Where does Jesus, the Lord told us that way back in the book of Deuteronomy when he was giving the law to the nation of Israel. He said that if someone came and made an accusation, it wasn't for example, that there had been something that had happened, if there wasn't witnesses to corroborate the event, then it would have to just be worked out between the two. But if there was two or three, then there was something that needed to be done by the whole community if it wasn't corrected. That's back in the book of Deuteronomy, because by two or three witnesses, it would be verified that it had been done. Well, here, he says, if they won't listen to you, then you need to take two or three with you and go. And again, are you going with, well, we're going to get them now. We outnumber them. 3 or 4 to 1. So now we've got them. No. You go with real tears in your eyes, weeping in your heart, understanding the seriousness of the situation. It's so serious that Jesus said, people that lead people into that type of attitudes and lifestyle, woe to them that are doing that. You know, prime example is one of the prayer requests here, where you have Christians that have darker color skin than other Christians and have been fine and haven't said anything their whole life, and now all of a sudden, because of what's happening in our country, are saying things that are wrong. Are saying things that are wrong. They're doing grave, it's detrimental to the body of Christ. It's stepping on what Jesus has done for us. And they've been people that have been powerful in their testimony in the past, and one needs to stand and bring them to correction for their own good. But what has led them there? It wasn't Jesus. It was a world that's been promoting wickedness, death, evil, hatred, and it's influenced them. And so we're to be desiring to see them brought out from the influence of Satan back into the influence of Jesus. And so he says, if they won't listen, then you go to the whole church. Why? That the whole church would come with tears, not with condemnation. The whole church would come with tears. What are you doing to yourself? You're our brother. Why are you allowing Satan to destroy you like this? Come back to worship our Lord with a pure heart and a proper motive. And then he says, if they won't listen, give them over to Satan so that they can experience where they're being led to and have a desire to come back to Christ. The Apostle Paul had to use this at the church of Corinth. Remember what happened? There the church had become a church that was very, you talk about pride. Pride had entered into the church. And once pride comes in, it's something that's horrible because its tentacles begin to spread out in all kinds of other areas. And when pride comes in, it can justify all kinds of sin. And that's exactly what had happened in Corinth. Remember Paul, when they first wrote to him, they said, Paul, we got a problem here. The people are following men, they're not following Jesus. The people think they're better, some people think they're better than others. We have our, they had what we do. They had they celebrated the Lord's Supper and they had a potluck afterwards. And they made sure that certain people came at certain times. So the wealthy people came at one time and those that weren't so wealthy, they got there and they got the leftovers. There was a division in the church. There was all kinds of schisms in the church. And it's because people viewed themselves as better than others. And so the one, they go, well, I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of Apollos. Well, I'm a follower. Well, I'm really spiritual. I'm a follower of Jesus. But they really weren't a follower of Jesus. And they weren't listening to what Paul and Apollos had to say. Or they would have been humble in their spirit, because remember what Jesus said, the mark of a believer is humility. And the greatest in the kingdom is the one who is humble, and the one who is meek, he is the leader. So none of these people were leaders. Well, what happened is the tentacles of sin got into the church. And you had a man that was living with his stepmother, I guess it was, in a sinful relationship. Disgusting. So much so that Paul says the world doesn't even do that. But it's being done amongst those that say there are members and bodies of your fellowship. And you're doing nothing about it. He says you've got to do something about it. You've got to go and you've got to talk to the man. And if he won't listen, then set him outside the church so that he can feel the full ramifications of Satan having access to his life as a believer, and he will come back to Christ. And so that's what they did. They did that. He wouldn't listen, and so they set him outside the church. They said, you can no longer be, we're not going to be mean to you, but you can't come to services until you repent of this wickedness that the world doesn't even do. Well, it didn't take long. He felt the ramification of Satan having full access to his life and a lack of fellowship with Christians and a real lack of fellowship with the Lord. And he repented. He repented and he came back with a true repentant heart. He no longer was involved in the sin, and he wanted to come back and be part of the fellowship. And guess what? They wouldn't let him come. Because you had a church that was filled with pride, and they're going to say, we're going to be the judges of when you can come back. Not God, not Jesus, but us. And what did Paul say? You have to take him back. You've got to take him back. It's your obligation to take him back. That's the whole point of discipline in the first place. Why do parents... If you've got godly parents, why do godly parents discipline their children? Is it because they enjoy discipline? No, as a matter of fact, they probably don't enjoy it at all. I did not enjoy disciplining our girls. It wasn't fun. And so consequently, sometimes I didn't discipline when they should have had it coming. But I disciplined because I loved them and cared about them, and I didn't want them to grow up being sinful, prideful little wretches. And so I would discipline when attitudes were wrong. When rebellion raised its head in their life, we'd try and deal with it. Because we loved them. And I wanted them to come to a position and an understanding of what it meant to walk as a believer in Jesus Christ. And you didn't do those things. Because it was not only dishonoring to our family, it was dishonoring to the Lord. And it was bringing, really, you were trampling His name. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And it's interesting, He closes this particular passage by saying, that God gives the church and individual Christians an interesting thing. He gives us the ability to bind and loose. And what it's talking about here is dealing with sin in the hearts of people that we can help them be set free. And that's the whole purpose. That the sin may be bound and the power of God may be loosed in their life and they may experience the Lord. Again, I say unto you in verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as to touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And in closing, why is it important we meet together? He commands us to do it, right? He didn't say, when you're all by yourself, and that's the only time you should pray. No, you should gather together. And where there's, it doesn't take a lot of you to gather together and agree. Two or three, gather together, agree. So if you see there's an issue, if you see there's a problem, two or three get together. We're not many here tonight, but we got together, we did our prayer requests, we were praying for the same things. Guess what? Jesus heard us. He's going to answer us. We prayed for safety, for individuals who are willing to take stands for truth in the midst of a culture that's in rebellion against truth, and they want them silenced. We pray, God, put your hand of protection around them. We ask for healing, and we're praying, God, heal. Lord, we ask that God would work in hearts, that He open up understanding of those that do not hear, and we ask that He would open up their ears and their eyes and their hearts, as they would give their hearts to Jesus. He says, I will hear. Where two or three have gathered together, I will hear, and I will respond, and I will answer. Now if you go back to the whole context is walking in obedience to Christ, experiencing the rebellion that is all around us in the world, and those that would love to take us into rebellion, when they do take us into rebellion, are those around us that care for us enough that they want us to see delivered from that rebellion and will pray for us and talk to us and see us delivered from it? And will they get on their knees and pray that we will be set free? I think that's what's missing in the church today. Proper discipline, because there's not proper understanding, and there's not proper love and compassion. May we be a church that loves one another so much that we care about one another and don't want to see each other led into rebellion against God. And we pray for one another that it doesn't happen. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. Lord, help us to be filled with your compassion and love. May your Spirit help us to see the danger all around us of the rebellion in our world and those that would seek to undermine and destroy our trust and faith in you and remove the innocence of our hearts and our faith and trust in all that you tell us to do, and would have us go down a road of rebellion. And Lord, may they truly be and experience your condemnation for doing that. But Father, we also pray that you would set people free who have been taken down that road and don't know any better. And Lord, help us to look out for our own. And help us to pray for our own. And Lord, help our children and grandchildren to understand when we discipline, it's because we love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.